To CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
The collective human family is straddling an unprecedented threshold time. We're living in the most difficult transition humanity will ever have to make. Yet, despite the extreme nature of our situation, we're also living in a moment of immense possibility. In the words of Francis Weller in the preface of the revised edition of the book Choosing Earth, he writes, "The passage will be long, and we will be working these evolutionary changes for decades and most likely for generations to come. Even though it is difficult, even though your heart breaks a thousand times, we must go through this time of collective initiation in order to take our place as responsible adults collaborating in the creation of a healthy and vibrant community of all beings." This will be the topic we'll be exploring today with our guest, Dwayne Elgin. Dwayne Elgin is a visionary futurist, educator, and citizen voice activist who received the Goy Pace Award in Japan in recognition of his contributions to a global vision that fosters a more sustainable and spiritual culture. Dwayne is currently the co-director of the Choosing Earth Project. He's the author of many books, including Voluntary Simplicity, Toward a Way of Life That is Outwardly Simple, Inwardly Rich, and the revised edition of Choosing Earth, Humanity's Journey of Initiation Through Breakdown and Collapse to a Mature Planetary Community. So please do join us for the next hour as we explore our planetary collective initiation and the invitation to become midwives and guides to a positive future with our guest, Dwayne Elgin. I'm speaking with Dwayne from his home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Dwayne, welcome.
Justine, we've known one another for decades. It's a great pleasure to be here with you. I look forward to speaking with your extended community around the world.
Thank you so much. It's so true. We've been on this path for a while, and as fellow pilgrims, so to speak. We're today going to be talking about the evolutionary journey that takes us into a planetary initiation. So I would love for you to first of all, tell us, in these transformative times, what do you consider the biggest focus right now, the first big focus that we're on right now?
Well, right now, certainly the popular imagination is focused on climate change. And that's what you hear almost every time you speak about the world in a situation of crisis. They say, oh, you mean climate change. And I say, well, yes, but there's so much more. There's we're facing a species extinction, one of the great mass extinctions of life on Earth. We're seeing extraordinary overshoot beyond the carrying capacity of the Earth to carry the burden of humanity into the further future. We're seeing the depletion of resources and so on. So what we're really facing is not simply a climate crisis that is widely recognized, but a whole systems crisis. And there's one key aspect of this is so important to understand. If we think it's a crisis, it's something that we can often imagine being fixed. But this is not a crisis to be fixed, but a powerful force moving through the world to be guided and to shift our mindset. From fixing something to guiding something is an extraordinary transition in our thinking as a species, because what we want to do is fix it and go back to how it used to be, but it will never go back. We're going forward. And to the extent that we resist going forward, which is profoundly the case right now, well, then we will crash into an evolutionary wall or experience a time of increasing authoritarianism before we actually grow up enough to take our way into a more promising future.
You know, Dwayne, that reminds me, one of the things that you mentioned in your book, you talk about PTSD, and that's post-traumatic stress disorder. And you really, to further the point you've just made, is you talk about CPTS, chronic planetary traumatic stress. And instead of that brief, relatively brief traumatic stress that we talk about with PTSD, which I think came from veterans returning from the wars, and that's when we first heard that term, you're talking about the idea that this is a life long planetary in scope, not just a brief, like, okay, we're going to fix this.
That's right. This is not something to fix. It is something to go through. And that change of word goes from a static situation to a dynamic one where we're moving with it. And instead of trying to dominate what has been the case, we need to go into dancing with what is emerging now. And to the extent that we don't go with the flow of the world in transformation, we're going to be resisting it, and the resistance is going to show up as enormous stress. And people around the planet are experiencing this right now. My guess is it's about at least a quarter of the human family would say, I am way more stressed now than I have been in the past, and I'm aware of climate change, species extinction, these other driving trends, and it is unsettling my life, and it looks like it's just going to get progressively worse until we take responsibility for what we are creating and create a more mature world for ourselves.
You know, Dwayne, I wanted to say, just to give our listeners an idea of your background, because you've been at this for a long time. I mean, I remember back in 1976, you were a senior social scientist on a project for the National Science Foundation. And even before that, you worked as a senior staff member for the Presidential Commission of Population Growth and the American Future. That was in 1972. And then you wrote your book, Voluntary Simplicity, which was highly popular at that time in 1981. So you've been looking at this for a long time. I just want to send my deep respect to you. For how long you've hung in there, and now here we are again, and here you're helping us to really understand where we are, to get us out of our avoidance or our denials or our ways of distracting ourselves, or even where we hold, many of us will say, oh, we can get out of this because there'll be some sort of technological breakthrough that's just going to change everything. What would you have to say to that?
It's too little and too late to turn to technology to save us. I learned about climate change in the early 1970s when I was working on that presidential commission, and then for the National Science Foundation and so on, doing futures studies. We knew back in 1975, for example, that by this decade, we would be in big trouble unless we dealt with climate change, seriously. And so the study guides, the people in charge said, well, we're not going to put climate change in our report. It's just too far into the future, even though that's what we were supposed to be looking at. And I said, no, we got to include climate change. And lo and behold, the years have gone by, the decades have gone by, and it is now too little and too late to turn to technology to transform the situation. It's really important that we are using technology, the solar panels and the electric cars and all the rest. That's really, really important. But it's not sufficient. We require a profound transformation in how we live on this Earth. And it's been estimated that the carrying capacity of the Earth for humans is somewhere around 2 or 3 billion people living in middle-class Eastern European lifestyles, moderate levels of living, 2 or 3 billion people. Now, we currently have 8 billion people on the planet, and it's growing. So we may be, say, roughly 5 billion people over carrying capacity. And all of the wiggle room has been used up. It's gone. It's nothing left. And so we're moving into the deficit region, finally. That has been the concern of scientists looking at the limits to growth. We've reached those limits, and we're now exceeding them, and we're beginning to see the consequences, which leads to the collapse, the breakdown and collapse of civilization on the planet. It's a hard story, but boy, that is what is happening, breakdown and collapse. Then the question is, well, what comes out of that? What happens after that? Well, one possibility is what I would call functional extinction. And that's where it doesn't mean we all die, but it means functionally the functionality of the civilizations on the Earth will be extinct. And if you look back, the Roman civilization fell, the high civilization fell, and the people dispersed and went away. But the civilization itself did not reconfigure. The same is true with the in Central America and the Incan and Aztec empires. When they collapsed and broke apart, their people went off to the jungle. They were still alive for the most part, but the ability to structure a high level of civilization was gone. So functional extinction is one possibility, and it's in our species' past. A second possibility is authoritarianism, and we're seeing that really get hold in the United States, other parts of the world, certainly China, Russia, potentially to some extent India. We are in a transition towards a right-wing authoritarian mindset. Someone's got to take control of this.
I want to just take a break because, okay, like you're filled us with a lot of information, and I want to go into how we can move through this, as you say, as we guide our way through this. And I want to mention to our listeners, I'm here with Dwayne Elgin. He's the author of the revised edition of Choosing Earth, Humanity's Journey of Initiation Through Breakdown and Collapse to a Mature Planetary Community. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dwayne Elgin, and he is a futurist and co-director of the Choosing Earth Project, and he's the author of Choosing Earth, a revised edition. Dwayne, you were just saying the different scenarios that we have before us as far as how we could go. We could go into extinction. You said functional extinction. We can go into authoritarianism. Is there anything you want to add to that before we go into the third idea of what we could go into or choose?
Yeah, you just said the authoritarian outcome is being propelled by artificial intelligence. And these new systems that we're seeing are being combined with other computing capacities like facial recognition and the rest, to provide a mechanism, a means, a technology to keep track of a billion or more people. No problem with the kind of technologies that we have. So we are behind the curve in terms of preserving our freedoms, and our freedoms depend now on our maturity. So that then, Justine, brings us to our third outcome, our third future, that of initiation, a transformation. And it requires, here's the thing, people don't necessarily recognize this requires a change in every aspect of life, from the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, the car that we drive, the home in which we live, the work that we do, the vacations that we take, and so on. You begin to see, is everything is on the line here. Would we step up and take charge of that? Well, that's going to take a new level of maturity. And so there's a key insight that I want to share with the audience. For over 30 years, I've been going out and giving talks around the world. And often before I begin giving a talk, I will say, look, I want to ask you a question. Before I say anything, let me ask this. And I say, when you look at the human family and our behaviors, what life stage do you think we're in? Are we behaving like toddlers, teenagers, adults, or elders? Four choices: toddlers, teenagers, adults, or elders. And I say, please turn to someone you've never met, talk about this for 5 minutes, then we're going to take a vote on the life stage of the human family. So I've asked this all around the world. And initially, people don't know what to say. After about 5 seconds, though, it explodes in the conversation because almost everyone has a point of view. After 5 minutes, we take a vote. And I ask people not only to raise their hands, but to stand up for their point of view. And it's astonishing. Everywhere around the world, I've asked this question, all kinds of audiences. It turns out that about 25% will say, well, we're in our toddler's stage as a species. And then I said, well, how many feel we're in our teenage stage or adolescent stage? Three quarters of the audience, again and again and again around the world, step up. And I haven't said anything yet. That's their understanding of what is going on. And it conforms with my own understanding as well. We're in our adolescence. Now, that's good news, because the next stage after adolescence is our early adulthood. And with that adulthood, we have a degree of maturity with which to stand back and look at what we're doing, more of a reflective consciousness, more of a responsibility for the well-being of life. That is one of the aspects of maturity.
So, Dwayne, I'm going to interrupt you for a second, because I want you to pause for a moment on the adolescent stage. So, okay. Describe what that stage is like, both in our personal development as adolescents, but also collectively.
Yes. Well, in our adolescence, we say, well, who's in and who's out? Who's part of this community and who's not? So division is right there at the get-go with the adolescent. The adolescent says, well, how do you look today? What are your clothes, the car? What do you have here? And so then materialism gets an extra push. The mindset of the adolescent is, well, it's about me, isn't it? It's all about me. And, well, the we gets lost in the me-ness of the adolescent mindset. So you can begin to see that an adolescent mindset
and
does
isn't
not...
And isn't it instant gratification is
yes,
another one?
Exactly. Exactly. I want it now. I'm not going to wait. So give it to me now. So there is so many ways that we are behaving in an adolescent kind of manner as a species right now, or want to if we don't have the resources to enable that. So maturity can come out of the suffering. We're going into a time of extraordinary stress, suffering as a species, and that suffering can be a catalyst for awakening. The suffering, the sorrow, the loss that we're going to be experiencing are going to wake us up with gratitude for what we have lost and what we still have to gain. So that is the beginning of the transition from adolescence to adulthood, and we're in it right now. It's underway.
So would you say, like, the attributes of this maturing adult would be shifting from, let's say, rebellion to collaboration?
Yes.
Or recklessness to discernment, or others, separation is giving way, would give way to being part of a larger, knowing we're not separate, but there's
That's
an
right.
interconnection. So is that what you would say would
yeah.
be attributes of a maturing adult or
Indeed,
maturing?
Indeed, I would. And a sense of identity. Right now, our sense of identity tends to be pretty close. And we identify with a clique, the group, the racial, whatever that we identify with. Those are our peers, those are our group. But we need to have an identity of ourselves as beings. We're all one species, biologically. We're all one species. We're all going to go through this together. We need to have the identity of collaboration, of community. We are building community at a global scale on the likes of which we've never seen before. And we have the technology, the tools to enable us to reach out as a global community. I'll speak about that.
I mean, I know we're going to get into community and that, how we can move into that. But I would love for you, because I know it's very important for you, to help us understand that we are living in a living, dynamic universe. This
yes.
is not a dead universe made up of only material bits. That they say something about the living universe that we
Great.
Are part of.
It's so foundational, Justine. Thank you. For the last 300 or 400 years, we've been progressively assuming that we're living in a universe essentially of dead matter and empty space, dead matter and empty space. And that's the scientists for hundreds of years have said, well, that's pretty much all that we've got, dead matter and empty space. What do we do with that? Well, let's see if we can't transform that dead stuff into something useful to humans. And what we're doing essentially then is we're exploiting what we presume to be dead on behalf of those that are alive. And this exploitive mindset is natural. It's just naturally, if it's dead, well, of course, exploit it. And use it up, consume it. So the whole consumerist, materialist mindset really emerges out of a paradigm, a mindset that is dead. But science now is beginning to merge with spirituality, and this is a longer story, but science is being amazed, stunned by the nature of the universe itself as a living system. And it's a living regenerative system through the lens of science, and likewise through the lens of spiritual traditions around the world. And we can recall that the most ancient traditions that we have say it's alive. This is the indigenous mindset. The first miracle in life is that there's anything here at all. And what is here is an astonishing universe of, say, 2 trillion galaxies and so on. So we are discovering through the mindset, the eyes of science and the eyes of spirituality, it's alive. Now, here's where that hits the bottom line, just the bottom line. If it's dead, exploit it. If it's alive, take care of it.
Oh, great. I want to mention, there's a quote from your book, from you. You say, we cannot repair the earth without healing ourselves and our relationship with the rest of life.
Yes.
And then you go on to give another quote. You quote another person. He's a scientist, Gus Spieth, and he's the director of the Council on Environmental Quality. And I love this quote. I'm going to read it for our listeners. He says, I used to think the top environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change, but I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and empathy. And to deal with those, we need a spiritual and cultural transformation. And we scientists don't know how to do that.
That's right.
I loved Gus Spieth's quote there, and it goes along with what you're saying, is that this is a cultural transformation, an initiation that cannot be avoided. As Francis Weller said in the intro to your book, we're on this, whether we like it or not. The train has left the station.
That's right.
So here we are going on into this. And anything you want to add?
Yes, has to do with initiation. The initiation is not for us as people. It's for the community that we live within. It's for the well-being of life. And the function of initiation is to grow up. And it's to take your role in the mature community of adults that are supposed to be taking care of not only themselves, but also the ecology that surrounds. So that's the function of initiation. Grow up. Be a part of the elders that are in charge of caring for the well-being of the earth.
And an initiation is not an ascension. It's not going up into the heavens or it's a going down. It's a descent.
It's an integration, connection, integration. Come on home to the earth. Don't leave it into your thoughts. Come home in your direct experience of life and feel your participation in this ecology of life.
I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dwayne Elgin, and he is the author of the revised edition, Choosing Earth, Humanity's Journey of Initiation Through Breakdown and Collapse to Mature Planetary Community. And if you want to know more about his work and his work with the Choosing Earth Project, you can go to his website, DwayneElgin.com. And he spells his name Dwayne, D-U-A-N-E, Elgin, E-L-G-I-N, DwayneElgin.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. My name is Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with futurist and co-director of the Choosing Earth Project and author of Choosing Earth, the revised edition of the book. Dwayne, you mentioned